How you doing?
I am good, Miss Crystal. How are you doing in the great city of Little Rock, right off of
Doing
I-40
good, doing
West?
good. Correct.
In the
Correct. I'm doing
natural
well. Thank
state.
you for having me.
In the
In
natural
the natural state.
natural
Period.
state, hallelujah, Father, is natural in Arkansas for sure. So, folks, Ms. Crystal has a business. She has a lot of things going on for herself. So we want to talk to her about her business. She's an MUA. She was just in our city, glamming up a wedding this past weekend in Riverdale, Georgia. As y'all know, that's down there, Tara Boulevard, Clayton County. Clay Cole, what's good? She travels. I mean, she'll come to you. She'll do your party, your fashion show, your church, Women's Day, whatever it is, your men's choir, women's choir, because men get glammed up too, obviously. So the women's from here. So yeah, everybody can get it done by Miss Crystal. Ain't that right?
That's right. That's right. Everybody gets laid.
Yes, and she is slayed right now, I must say.
Well,
Hallelujah,
thank you.
Father. Blessings upon thee. Blessings upon thee. And she's also an HBCU grad. She went
Shout out
to
to Central State University.
Central State
Woo!
in Ohio. They're very rare to be up north, but in the Midwest, but
Yeah.
she went there. So we'll talk about that too. So, Miss Crystal, tell me this. What got you to the glam business?
Actually, when I was attending Central, I would say, well, I was going to summer school for like, my freshman and sophomore year. Then that junior year, I was like, yeah, kind of don't want to go. And my mom was like, well, I'm not paying for you to just kick it all summer. So I ended up working at Macy's in the Dayton Mall. And the manager at the time was like, oh, you have a great personality. You should work in cosmetics. I was like, oh, me? So that's how I got my start. Junior year that summer, going into my junior year that summer, basically, I ended up working in the cosmetics department at Macy's, and that's how I got my head start into the beauty industry.
Nice. So, how were those young, infinite days when you was just a youngster out here grinding in this field? Because I know how it was me when I was a young buck in radio. How those days of trial and error and just trying to hustle and be on the grind was. So, how was it those beginning days for you as you began your hustle?
Well, you definitely learn like how to keep things the personal and the professional separate. Like that was one of the things I had, I guess you could say I struggled with in the beginning because it was like I was doing friends and friends of friends, and it was like, oh, we'll pay you later, or I didn't have contracts. I didn't really know how to go about this as a business because at the end of the day, I provide a service.
Yes.
So trying to find that balance where it's like, okay, you have to keep the personal and a professional separate. So I guess that would have been like my main thing that like I struggled with in the very beginning. And then also just building on your craft, like doing makeup is not just, I mean, you have to work on it like anything else you want to get good at. Like if you play sports, you got to practice. So basically doing makeup, I had to practice, to get, be able to do all skin types, all races, men and women. So, just one of those things you have to just keep at. And then also staying up with the trends. I mean, makeup has evolved. I've been in the makeup game since 2009, and a lot has changed from 2009 to now. So just making sure that I stay up with the trends.
When you say 09, takes me back to May 9th, 09 when I graduated from Tennessee State. Like it's been 12 years. Wow. 12 years. That rainy day in 09, man, I came along with that rainy day in 09. I remember it was rainy day.
Oh, it rained. It was cold at our graduation in 2010. I remember it was like the day, like the rehearsal, it was like kind of warm. And then the very next day, it was like freezing. I was like, that's Ohio weather for you.
Yes. So you say you're a lover of beauty and fashion. So that was from a young girl in Little Rock, huh?
Yeah.
Was it mom and grandmom's makeup and perfume and doing it? Or what triggered as a young girl about the beauty and fashion?
I just think I've always been like a super girly girl. Like I was always in dance. I was captain on the drill team, and I took ballet and hip hop. So always got to wear makeup for like the shows and things. But I think I've always just loved like getting dressed up. My mom definitely was, I'm not gonna say she overdid it, but my mom had the blonde hair, like the mushroom back in the day, like mm-hmm. platinum blonde. I used to see her put on her makeup. And it's just one of those things where you just grow up and you just know, like, I just always loved it. Like, it never felt like a chore or a hobby. Like, it was always something fun for me. I never felt like it was something I had to be doing. It's like, I wanted to do it. So, and then as I got to, going to HBCU is like, that first year, you like kind of figuring out who you are and everybody's like getting into like fashion and it's like the retro theme and everybody's like doing everything like trying to reinvent themselves. So, you know, college is like a big fashion show. So every day was like, I know it's funny stories. Me and my friends, one of my friends, shout out to Sharice Woods. So we had a class together and everybody would make fun of us because we would come in late and we used to wear heels and but here come the clackers. So like it was always something with fashion and at the HBCUs. Like, so I just think it has carried on a long way. And now as an adult, like I love fashion. I love makeup. I love getting dressed. Like I love helping other people get dressed. So it's just one of those things that I picked up and it's a part of who I am.
I remember back in those days, I had a BlackBerry, a Trio, and a Sidekick.
I had all BlackBerries.
I had all BBM was that thing back in the day. Like, hey, what's your BBM?
Okay, oh my gosh, I remember those.
It's on the BBM too. Yes. Oh my and my God, pullout God. Grill I had too. My pullout grill.
Oh God. Not the grills.
Yes, we was rocking TSU with the pullout grills of Tennessee State. That's what we was on, the pullout grills.
The grills. Oh, that's funny.
Yes, the pullout grills. We had our shades on. We come to class in all black. We come to class late, not giving a darn, because we had help with our work. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to stop now. Fuck anybody else in trouble. Shout out to y'all helping me undergrad. Thank you. I appreciate you dearly.
Period.
Yes, indeed. I'll leave it right there the way it is. So tell us about how was the homecoming for you guys up there? You know, I know at TSU, homecoming was like a big whole week, parades, the game at the stadium downtown, man. It was madness. How was homecoming up there at Central State?
It's the same way. I think HBCUs around the world, I mean, just, you know, in the United States, you know, are kind of all the same. So when I was in undergrad, it was like, of course, it was like a whole week of events for the students. And then, of course, like that Thursday, Friday was like when the old heads or the alumni would come back. And it was just like, it's always like a big family reunion. That's how I think about it. Like, it's everybody and just mixed all in. And you get to like meet people who graduated 10, 20, 30. And it was, I mean, it's people that would be like 70, 80 years old coming back to homecoming. They've been coming back for years. So it was the same way. The yard popping, everybody's just, the vendors, the game, the parade, the band, the Greeks, like it was all like a big festival. Like it's, you know, like last year during the pandemic, when we couldn't have homecoming, I was like, we sick about it. Cause like it's the one thing you like, we look forward to going back to. And actually 2 years, I couldn't actually go back to my own homecoming back at Central State. So I went to Philander Smith College, which is a HBCU here in Arkansas. And they're like, they welcomed me in, like, also, did you go here? Like, where did you go? I'm like, no, I'm here with a friend. I'm like, oh, it's okay, she with us, she's cool. So it's like anywhere you go, if you didn't go to HBCU, it's like so welcoming. I think that's the one thing that you love about HBCUs. It's like a family, rather you went there or not. So.
Oh, yes. Like, it's love at Howard, the Mecca up in D.C. Yeah. It's love at Pine Bluff, Southern on the Bluff down there, Texas Southern, Perry View, show your love, Hampton, you know, show your love, A&T, show your love. So, yeah, man, look, hey, HBCUs are all love here. So, right. We got that. So, tell me this, though. Why'd you choose Central, though, at the end of the day? Like, for me, mine was about sports. But why did you choose yours?
So there was a show called College Hill that came out in Virginia, on BET. And Virginia State was actually the, if I'm not mistaken, that was the college that was on there that year that I wanted to go. So I applied, you know how you have to fill all those applications and all that stuff you have to fill out. Okay, so I did that. And I want to say like it must have been like an fluctuation of people trying to go to Virginia State, because like it took them like a whole year to get back to me for me to get accepted. In the meantime, I had applied to Tennessee State and I applied to Central State, but Central State was like the fastest to get back to me with everything, which I don't know if they just needed enrollment or what it was at the moment, but I had everything filled out before I got all my items back from Tennessee State and from Virginia State. So I ended up going to Central. I did want to go to an HBCU that was not buried in the South, because, you know, majority of them are down South. So me being from Arkansas, I was like, let me see what else is, you know. And I wanted to experience something different. So I think I just chose that. I mean, I almost say Central chose me, because it was like, I could have went to Tennessee State. I could have stayed right here and went to Pine Bluff. Like, I knew people from there too. So it was just like, I wanted to experience something different. And I went there and I'm so glad I did. Like, I have like lifetime friends, family, like right there from Central. And it's like, I mean, it was definitely a blessing to go there and experience the experiences I had there. So.
No doubt. I feel it. I love it. Now tell me this, you are autism advocate. You have a child. You have a child with autism.
I do.
And tell us
Jaylen, Jay Rich.
Tell us about young Jaylen. Tell us about your advocacy and how having him has spurred you into the advocacy.
Yeah. So Jaylen is now 7. I found out that Jaylen had some developmental delays right before his 2nd birthday. So, you know, just watching my child and like his characteristics change from a baby until he got into toddler stage, I noticed that he had a lot of anxiety for a kid. So basically, you know, in the Black community, we don't always look at things, or we like kind of sweep things under the rug, like, oh, he'll grow out of that. Or, yes. But I just knew like this ain't, something ain't really right going on. So I took him to like different therapists, and we seen doctors. And basically at the age of 2, he started going to a developmental preschool, which basically where he got therapy at, speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy. He had a behavior analysis. Like I just dove right in. And being a single parent, like you have to just, you know, I feel like God does give like some of his biggest battles to his strongest warriors. So I was like, you just have to be strong and overcome everything. And now he's 7. He's verbal. He doesn't say every single thing, but he gets his point across. And that was the best thing I could have did, was basically change my life as far as like getting like a routine for him, making sure he was seen by a therapist, getting him in the right preschools. And so we go to the Autism Walk here every year. It's in October, and we raise money for Autism Speaks. And I just, you know, I think if anyone feels, you know, I mean, because I guess I felt, you know, why me, or, you know, who to ask for help. Like, you just have to reach out, because there is help for people. People will guide you on the right path. And we have been doing so good. Like, my son is, I'm his number one fan. He already knows. So he's doing really, really good. If you might hear him in the background here and there, but he's, you definitely have to just step out on faith, do what you need to do, and then just know that everything will work in like how it's supposed to. It works out for you. So.
And I love the Special Olympics too, because those kids are so pure. They're so pure and innocent. They're not, you know, they just want to be loved and shown appreciation. So
yeah.
I love Special Olympic events here in Atlanta and Nashville. We do those things. So we love those. And my favorite cousin is developmentally delayed. My best friend is developmentally delayed. So, but never judge them. So for me, I've been dealing with this since I was a child, with my 2 people I'm closest to, for is family wise, have issues. Mm-hmm. And I don't judge them one bit. They're my guys.
Right.
And I'm gonna take care of them, because that's what it's about. So most definitely, it makes you stronger. It shows you how to be human, how to be humble,
absolutely
thankful and appreciative, you know.
Yep.
It also makes you fight too, because you mess with somebody I love, I'm gonna kick your ass.
Period. Because I don't play about Jaylen. Everybody know. Wait a second. Weber said, clear it up. Because
getting the hands.
But yeah. Yeah, he's definitely a trooper. And, you know, I think because I say exposed him, but, you know, I don't treat him like he has a handicap. So like, you know, I talk to him like I'm talking to you. Jalen, come here, do this, open the door. Do like, I talk to him, you know, I want people to know he understands now. He doesn't always communicate like he wants to, but he'll get to the point. He'll tell you he's hungry, he's sleepy, he's thirsty. You know, he might say, juice, please. But he'll get the point across the way he needs. And, you know, as we keep, you know, we're just going to keep going on. Like, he's in school, he's in, he's doing well in school. He's still getting his therapy. So we just, you know, we persevere. We're going to keep on rolling.
Speaking of persevering here, Crystal. You are a single mother, a single parent, and your husband at the same time. Perseverance right there. Tell us about that. What motivates you, every day to be on the grind?
You know, I have to, you know, my son, number one, you know, he propels me to be great because it's just me and him. So I have to basically do what I need to do to support our lifestyle. So I have a full-time job, like a full-time day job. I'm a freelance makeup artist, and I also a boutique owner. So honestly, you know, every day I'm not motivated, I'm not gonna lie, but I have to be disciplined to do what I need to do. And on top of that, I want to have a social life. I want to work out. Like, it's other things too. So it's like you have to make sure there's Jalen making noise. There's other things too.
What
you
up,
have
bro?
To,
what's up, homie?
Have to put into play in the back. Just you have to put into play. So I just have to make sure that the days that I'm not motivated, I'm disciplined enough to know, like, get up, grind it out Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, day job, come home, get my kid fed, sit down, do my little social media stuff for the boutique. Book my appointments on the weekend or sometimes in the evening. It's just, you know, it's a continuous cycle. Like, I'm always working, like, I'm always busy, but that's okay because I know all that pays off. You know what I mean? I'm successful in all avenues. So therefore, I can't really complain about it. Now, I'm not gonna lie, sometimes I am tired, but you know, when you're not motivated, you have to be disciplined. I think that's what I've been practicing. You know, especially since I reached my 30s, like, sometimes you're not motivated. You just do not want to do it. But then you have to, you know, kick into that discipline. Like, well, I'm doing it because I have to do it. And, you know, and it pays off. People see your hard work too.
No doubt. And you also love to travel and explore different cultures. So tell us this. Yes. What is your favorite place to travel to? What is your ideal destination spot for a vacation?
Well, I don't know if I have a favorite place to travel. So I guess in the States, I don't know. I like visiting everywhere though. Like, of course I love going to Cali because it's so many like different cultures right in Cali. Like, so not just going to LA, but going to San Francisco. Where else can you, Sacramento, any place, you know, there's so many different like places, you know, that I guess you could say I would like to travel in the United States. But actually 2 years ago, me and my family traveled to the Dominican. It was right when do you remember all that stuff that was happening about the liquor? And, okay. So we had bought our tickets, like booked the trip and everything in 2018. So when 2019 happened, all that stuff came out. We was all kind of like, should we go? Should we not go? We end up going. We stayed at like a 4-star resort. It was amazing. Like, none of that stuff that the media was talking about even happened at our resort. We was like, we was all scared. We did pack our own liquor just to be sure. But once we ran out of liquor, we was like, so we gonna try this bar or we not? So we went and we had a blast. And you know, the best part about going to Dominican was going to, like, we did a, what are those things called? The you do like the RTV, what are they called? The little excursions. There we go.
Yes, excursions.
So we
went to
one of the excursions we did. We went and ate it, like Dominican food at like this place. It was like so good too. So it was just, you know, to experience how they eat, the type of food they eat, the sauces. It was just, you know, some people didn't like it. And I, of course, because you just, if you like it, you like it, you don't. But it was just different to see like how they eat, how they live, and you know, where they live and outside of the resort, because of course the resort is a luxury. And then you get to like where they are, like, oh, everybody's not like the United States. But it was cool. Like, I had a good time. So I think the next place I want to travel to, well, I was supposed to go to Hawaii in 2020, but the pandemic.
I am here.
It put a, you know.
Yeah, I'd already paid for it too and lost some major coin.
Oh, well, see, they gave me my money back.
Man, I lost 3 stacks minimum.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But that's one of the places I do want to actually visit. A lot of people were going to Denver. I'm seeing, you know, this via social media, and I was like, oh, Denver sounds cool. I don't know how. I'm not a huge fan of the cold weather, but I still feel like that's somewhere I want to visit. And then, of course, out of the country, I want to visit Greece. I had seen a few people post about, like, Greece and, like, those caves. I'm like, oh, that looks cool. So those are, like, kind of the – so I guess the main three things I guess I want to go visit. I want to go to Greece, I want to go to Hawaii, and I'm going to go to Denver.
I hear you. Denver's a fun place. I've been there many a times with the Atlanta Hawks, so.
Okay.
Denver's a very fun place to be. And I catch me a contact guy when I'm there every time. Yeah, Bossman Unfiltered at that point. And then y'all want that because the FCC will fire my ass if I go unfiltered. They'll fire me. I'll have a show no more. Yes, indeed. So you kind of brought it up. You know, I know in the radio field for me, social media versus reality is funny. And but at least looks at my pages. I keep it about my show.
Yeah.
I don't let you into my real life on my pages for various reasons. You know, because I don't want to have a blogger from Atlanta. One, you know, all the major gossip sites are in Atlanta. I don't need those problems.
Yeah.
So how do you balance trying to, you know, be about you, being a single mother, being a parent, also promoting yourself at the same time, not letting people define who you are based on what you post, or letting them get in your head to say, you got to be doing this, or just you just be about doing Crystal and what she wants to do for her business, not let other people brand you per se.
You know what? I really focus on posting stuff that's positive. Of course, I post, you know, your occasional selfie and my makeup stuff, but I really try to keep my social media more just positive and realistic. Like, I'm not on there posting, like, you know, I always say, like, the, you know, the phone, the money phones people we have, like the stacks of money and buy luxury cars. And I just feel like if I was having stacks of money, like, I wouldn't even post that, because I just feel like that's still personal. And I think sometimes you have to just post, like, sometimes I post things that are not even related to my life. Like, if it's something funny, I might just post it because it's funny, not because it's, like, necessarily related to my life. And I think that's the one thing people have to realize. Like, social media is entertainment. It shouldn't be, like, you definitely shouldn't compare your real life to, like, you know, celebrities and other things. Because, you know, the crazy thing is there are a lot of people on social media who, I hate to say this, don't have anything in real life. Like,
they have
all these followers. And they sleep in a car, or they sleep in, you know, especially in some of these major cities like LA. I have a friend, we were just talking about this, about how he was in the music business. I think he did PR for, like, a company at some point. And he was saying, like, there was, like, a lot of social media influencers who basically, like, it's 4 or 5 people to one bedroom. Mm-hmm. Like, but you think because they post, you know, they in their car and they didn't post something, you see they Mercedes symbol or the BMW symbol, or, you know, they make sure if they're in a section with a celebrity that you could see the celebrity, that's their life and arch life. They're going to sleep in a one bedroom with 5 other people. Like, that's not realistic. You know what I mean? Like, that's not living luxury. Because feel like when you are luxury, you live normal. That's your normal lifestyle. You don't have to pretend to be luxurious if you really have it. So I think I just, you know, I post what's realistic for me, as far as, like, I just try to keep it positive, and then I'm just not trying to flex. Like, I think your biggest flex is not flexing.
No doubt. And the last topic we got for you today is this, like, as a hustler, I know what it is. Trying to date somebody is hard. If they don't understand your grind.
Ooh.
If they don't understand the grind, they take it personal when you have to be on the road or be away, have to take a phone call past business hours. Because when you are an entrepreneur and a hustler, your job is 24/7. It don't stop.
Period. Yeah, that's
and you have to understand that. And I feel like people who are insecure and needy and clingy can't handle a hustler. And I know that from my experience being in this game for damn near 10 years. I know what time of day it is. Yeah. And so then you got to worry about the image and judging you. Because, you know, I'm going to see what I get. You like the players are. No, I don't got their money. I have the lifestyle. I got their money. So I know what I get in my field. So how is it in your field trying to date and deal with people and who don't understand the grind or too needy, too clingy, or want too much too soon, or want this or want that because you can't give it to them right then and
there? I'm single. So that's probably part of why I'm single. Like, you know, dating is really, first of all, because I tell people, like, besides business, I'm a mom too. So I just can't introduce people to my son just because. So I've been out of relationship for, I guess, going on 4 years now. And dating for me right now was just like, really, I got to make sure the person, whoever I'm dating or when I start like dating seriously, is my friend. Because I think being able to balance a friendship with me, maybe it'll help them also balance an intimate relationship with me too. Because I need somebody who when we on friend, I need the friend. When I need a business partner, I need the business partner. When I need my lover, I need my lover. I need to make sure that we know which role to play. Because when I'm doing business or making business move, I need a business partner. I don't need you to be my lover right now. I need you to be like, let's talk about this money, let's talk about this finance, let's talk about what we're doing, what's the next step. But then also, when it's time to unwind and come home, I need my lover. I need that companion. Like, you gotta make sure that, you know, that the relationship got a nice flow. Not to say things are going to be perfect, because that's not realistic, but ultimately I want to make sure they understand it too. Plus, I want somebody who out here getting it too. I don't want somebody who can be texting me, what you doing, like, what are you doing? Like, when you are busy, you don't have time to sit up a text and talk on phone all day. You gotta check in real quick and then move on, like, with your day. So I think I also have to have someone who's doing stuff also. They have to have, you know, their own business, or not necessarily their own business, but have their own plans, everything they have going on too, because that allows me to do me, him to do him. And then when it's time to come together, it's like that. But I guess you could say right now, I'm not really like dating seriously like that. Like, I mean, I think though, I meet people and vibe with people all the time, and I'm always looking for connections and things like that. But dating, yeah, it's hard out here. Ooh, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Shoot. Tell me about
it's hard. Especially when you gotta,
especially when you got suckers who trying to, you know, use you for stuff. Oh my God.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's, I mean, that goes for men and women. Like, you know, truly. You know, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I know that, you know, I like to think that I'm pretty beautiful. You know, I'm got confidence in myself. I got a little shape on me. So, you know, people see that and they might think, oh, she going, or whatever the case may be. But I have to quickly remind people, I'm not young in my 20s no more. I'm past 30. And at this point, it's like, well, what else do you see besides this? So
that's where you cut out half the fear right there.
No, for real. Like, because when you're not putting out, that cuts a lot of people off. When you're not,
it cuts half the fear.
When you're not putting out, it cuts out half the people. But, you know, you just have to, you know, I tell people, keep it classy. Do what you're going to do, but just keep it classy. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm upfront with, you know, upfront and honest with people. Like, that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I want. And then you can choose at that point to either, you want to still try to talk, date, be friends, or you can move on and do what you're going to do, which is that's one thing, no hard feelings. I think people think because, you know, you quit talking to someone or y'all fade away, that it's beef. But at this point, it's just like, maybe we wasn't compatible. So it's okay if we do other things. So
I'm going to teach you a saying that I learned years ago, PYP, pick your path.
Okay.
You got path A, path B, or path C. Now, A is good.
Mm-hmm.
B is good. Mm-hmm. C is see you later. So pick your path.
Pick your path.
We can go A, the way we might want to go that way. We can go B, come up with something, or see your way.
There you go. That's right.
That's how you
right.
do it. And last one we got for you is this. You know, you say you got shape on you. So, you know, you are natural.
From the natural state, baby.
I'll leave it there. You're natural. So,
I am.
Talk about body positivity. Trying to, you know, get people to respect the Black woman's natural body. And it's funny how non-Blacks co-opt the Black body, try to knife themselves up to look like the Black body. That's natural.
Yep.
But at the same time, when Black women wear certain things, they're vilified for it. Or if a Black woman is bigger or not the pencil type, they're vilified for some things. So talk about that, being a woman who has a shape and who was built naturally. How's that work for you and in your field, and trying to encourage other women to accept their bodies, love themselves, mm-hmm. and don't let anybody else define them or define what beauty is for them?
Right. So I'm going to like take it back just a little bit. So I remember when I was growing up, because I've been shapely since, I mean, I'm going to say like in seventh grade, I remember being like more curvy than the other seventh graders. So I remember when, like, you know, having a fat ass, big booty, whatever you want to call it. I remember when that was like only for like, do you remember like the Vixen era?
It was, oh,
like,
yes, I remember very well.
Okay, so anybody who was like a video girl or a Vixen, it was like that body type was like deemed for those people. Everybody wanted to be like, you know, the Brandys, the Monicas, the Leahs. So like at that point, I remember growing up wanting to be slimmer because it was like they was deemed pretty. And then the other people was deemed like, no offense to no Vixen, shout out to the Vixens, y'all do y'all thing. But they was deemed like hoes. Like everybody was like, oh, the Vixen girls or the people who are in the videos, they sleeping around, they slept to get where they at. So I was like, what? So then it was like, coming to like the 2000s, I feel like for my era, it was like the Kardashians came. And it was like when the Kardashians came out, Kim to be specific, it was like everybody was on this, gotta have this big booty, small waist. And then you just started seeing it like trending. So then it was like plastic surgery came out, whereas plastic surgery used to be like a secret. Like if you got anything, any work done, you never told people. Then it was like, became like right now, I feel like it's a trend. So sometimes I feel like I'm defending my natural body against like, oh, your boy got to be fake. Or I'm like, wait a second. Like, wait, I've been this shape. Like, but you just have to honestly love yourself. Like self-love is so important because looking at social media, you can get so down on yourself, especially like if you have a baby, like your body is never the same after you have a baby. Or if you, you know, go through anything, depression or anything, like will you gain weight or lose a significant amount of weight? Because it's like everybody wants to have like small, small waist, big, big booty. It's like, I mean, if you got it, get it. And then if you want to get surgery, get that if that's going to make you happy. But it should be about self, not about social media, not about a man, not about a woman. It should be, that's what I'm doing because it makes me feel good. And you know, I mean, last year during the pandemic, I picked up some pounds sitting in the house not doing nothing. And I looked at myself one day and I was like, yeah, I don't like this. So I started working out. You know, yeah, I can go get lipo and tummy tuck and all that, but I just feel like for me working out, I mean, also it relieves a lot of stress. It makes me feel good and it teaches me how to live a healthy lifestyle. So for me, I choose to work out. For some people, they might not want to. They want to go get tummy tuck, 360 lipo. By all means, sis, whatever you want to do, make sure you're just doing it for you. If you want to work out, don't complain. Get up, work out, eat healthy. You want to get a tummy tuck, do your research. Find the right doctor. Make sure you have the proper help. Like, I think everything is about making sure you're doing it for yourself. And then you're researching what you're doing. Just like if you want to change your lifestyle, you should be researching what health benefits for me, not for what everybody else. But it's definitely hard trying to not look at social or society and what they deem as beautiful and knowing that you are beautiful, you are worthy, and just whatever body you got, just rock it, knowing what type of clothes look good on you. You know what I'm saying? And I must say, there are certain things that look better on smaller frame people. Like there's certain dresses I can't wear because they just don't look good on me. And that's okay. Knowing that something just not for you is just not for you. That doesn't mean that you can't wear certain things. You just have to know, dress your size, because there are a lot of plus size women who be bad. Okay. There's a lot of slim, tall women, model like women, bad. Like, it's just whatever you feel. You know, I think we need to start thinking that beauty is what is in the inside. Of course, you want to see it on the outside, but you could see somebody who's beautiful on the outside and their disgusting, nasty attitude. And that, to me, that takes away everything. So it's just, you know, loving yourself, doing what you want to do for you is more important than, you know, what you see on. Don't get caught up in the hype, because at the end of the day, you did all that and you still hate yourself. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do anything, make sure you're doing it for you, because that's who it should be for yourself.
No doubt. Well, Crystal, before we finish up this segment here, Tell us how to reach you on the social medias, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, Twitters, and those things. So the people here on the Boss Man Radio Network, all our affiliates, 34 of them, all signed by me, Boss Man affiliates can hit you up and get some there, some glammed up, get some stuff from the boutique, and also learn about some the natural state some more. Tell them where to find you.
So my personal page on Instagram is Miss Perfect, MZPERFEKT. And then if you click on my personal page, my Makeup by Crystal H is on there. And also Final Touches Boutique, you can click right on my bio and then follow me on both. On Twitter, I just have a personal account, which, you know what? What is my Twitter? I should know. Ain't that sad? That's how you
know. Y'all know everything. Y'all know all your particulars. All the particulars. I got to be known. People got to hear this stuff. Some people are Twitter people. Some are IGs. Some are Facebooks. And some are LinkedIn people even.
I got it. I'm going to it right now because I should do better. So on Twitter, my name is Perfectly Homes. Spelled the same way with a K. PERFEKTLY and then Holmes, HOLMES, Perfectly Holmes. That's me on Twitter. And then I also have Facebook, which is just my name, Crystal Holmes. And my makeup page is Makeup by Crystal H. And then my boutique page is FT Boutique. You can find all of that just on my main page, though. So you get on my, if you get on my Instagram, it links you to all that stuff. So,
no doubt. Well, yep. Folks, that's Little Rock for you. Crystal Holmes, Boss Man Show on your radio, folks. She'll be back. Neek is out for who knows how long. So she will be on the news segment, the Boss Report, up next. Check that out for you on the Boss Man Show. Back with you. Boss Report News. Chill. Stick and stay. Little Rock's here. 5501. You feel me? 501.
Little Rock in the building.
No doubt. We're back in a little bit. We out.